or our own authority, God, but it's by your grace and your mercy, God, by your goodness and your peace, God. You give me strength in my time of need. You bring joy in my darkest nights. I give you the glory, not because I'm capable, but because you're worthy. You've allowed me to be in this moment. You've allowed me to be and experience your presence, God. So I give you honor. I give you praise. Why do we praise him? Because he's worthy. He's worthy of all the adoration. He's worthy of the glory. He woke me up this morning. He gave me breath. He put clothes on my back and a roof over my head. He's great. He's mighty. Despite my shortcomings, despite my temptations, he's able to overcome any of those things.
Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I've got a sermon I'm going to preach in just a second, but I want to do what that song just said. I want to bask in his presence just a little bit more. Can you just raise your hands, begin to continue to worship and pray? Chains are broken in a spirit of the Holy Ghost like this. Lives are changed. I find my joy in moments of the Holy Ghost like this. I find strength and peace in moments like this. Last week, Pastor closed service and he opened the altars and he dismissed at the same time. And some of you had things to do, and when he dismissed, you left. And you missed. You missed in tongues and interpretation. Tongues interpretation that were so powerful that all the hair on my body stood up at attention. And then talked, the voice of God spoke and talked about his love for us. And the greatness of his love was so deep and so vast that he was willing to robe himself in flesh, walk upon the face of the earth, knowing that a time would come when he'd have to bear the stripes for us. But his love is so deep and so perfect that he was willing to take that upon. And then the Holy Ghost fell across the room, and people began to cry and weep and realize, man, we are so blessed to have the love of a God that would be a willing sacrifice, a perfect, spotless lamb. And what I feel right now is the continuance of what we experienced on that Sunday. I feel the Holy Ghost in a mighty way in this room. I feel like this could be a call or a change in so many people's lives and how we move forward in 2026. As we close out 2025, I can think of no better way than praising the King of Kings and giving God glory because he's worthy. Can you just one more time raise your hands and lift your voices and give him the honor that he's due in this building right now, God, in your own way, in your own proclamation of belief and faith, in your own proclamation of love and what he's done for you, with a thankful heart and a gracious heart, God. believe the Lord has just spoken to us in a mighty way. Both interpretations that were just given ties in with what I'm getting ready to preach. If you're underneath the sound of my voice, I do not believe you're here by chance. I believe the Lord is calling us to go deeper. I believe that there are greater things yet to come. Not just for this church, but for you as a saint, me as a saint. I believe the Lord is preparing us for the great revival. I believe that there's going to be trials and tribulations in the horizon. But I also know the great champion, the one that'll provide through those moments of peril, the one that'll provide through those challenges and those discomforts. I believe he spoke to every single person in this room. I believe he particularly spoke to those that have been struggling with a worthlessness mindset. I'm broken. I'm incapable. I'm not able. I believe the words of the Lord just completely debunk that. He is here for you. He sees your shortcomings. He sees your failures. And despite all of them, he's ready to use you for greater things. Can we just raise our hands across this room and receive his word right now? In Jesus' name, God, I thank you. God, I give you the glory, God, and I praise your name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost that we feel, God. Thank you for ushering yourself into this room, God. Lord, we come humbly yet boldly before you, God. Lord, asking you not to be complete, but you're just beginning a new work in us, God. Lord, that you just began a new opportunity in us. So pour out your blessings, God. Anoint my lips, God. Lord, and allow your word to flow freely, God. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word today, God. Let your anointing flow through us, God. We thank you right now, and we give you praise. Amen. As our praise team makes their way back and you make your way back to your seats, thank you for leading us into the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for moving in a mighty way. At any moment and any time, I do not know how this sermon will end. I'll tell you that right now. I've got a couple of ideas. We'll see how it goes. Makes me a little nervous. But the altar is open at any point in time. If you're a guest here, I want you to understand we just experienced tongues interpretation the way the Bible speaks. That one is anointed with tongues and gives the tongues, and another gives the interpretation of the tongues. The interpretation is the voice of God speaking into us in that moment, and I'll receive what the Lord just spoke. Can I get an amen across this room? Amen. As we open our Bibles, John 14, verse 12, just one verse. Saturday night, I was woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't been sleeping very long by any means. Woke up and I was trying to go back to sleep, and I felt like the Lord imposed this upon my mind. Greater things are yet to come. John 14, 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." For the next few minutes, I want to preach greater things have yet to come. God, Lord, I thank you for what you did today. God, Lord, what you're going to do and what you're going to do in the future. I claim victory over this church. I claim victory over these saints. And I claim great miracles, signs, and wonders moving into 26, God. Lord, that you'll be a blessing to us, God. Lord, that you elevate us and put us in places that we could never imagine or fathom to be with our own talents and abilities, God. Put us in places that we can only give you credit for, God. We thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It is closing up 2025. Reflection back on what used to be the times that we had, the low times, the high times, the great things, the bad things. I had a friend of mine that we grew up and we have a group chat together, and we text all the time, all day, all the time. And he sent a meme or a gif of Vince McMahon, the guy that owns the WWE, crying as he was telling a story. And the caption said, "The older I get and the more I reflect back on the athlete that I used to be." Because the older that we get, the faster we were, the better shots that we had, the farther balls that we could hit, the more athletic we were just as a specimen. I don't want to go ahead and ruin the illustration, but, you know, in my mind, I used to be able to be a little bit of an athlete. Now, I don't need your laughter or your blank stares. It's true. It was a very little bit of an athlete, but the older I get, I become a better athlete. We also often look back at the way that things used to be. We talk about the good old days. If you sit around in church, you've heard about the old revivals. You've heard about the old-time prayer meetings, the all-night shout fest, the moves of the Holy Ghost that we used to experience, the way that miracles used to be. It's easy to reminisce about what God did, and instead of expecting what God is still capable of doing. I came with a word for you today. Greater things are yet to come. Not because we're stronger, not because we're smarter, but because simply God is not finished with us yet. If you were done, you wouldn't still be breathing. If this church was done, we wouldn't be gathered together on a Sunday morning. If God were done with his purpose, the trumpet would have sounded long ago and we would have been called up to meet our Maker. But as long as we're here, there is still more ahead of us. God is not done. Greater things are yet to come. If you believe me in this room, give me a hand clap and an amen. God's not done with me yet. God's not done with you yet. Greater things are yet to come. Just because greater things are yet to come, it does not mean that it'll be easier. John 14:12 is spoken by Jesus the night before he's taken to the cross. He's not preaching prosperity. He's not preaching the promise of comfort. He's preparing his disciples for transition. He's preparing them for what the future holds. He understands what he's getting ready to experience. He understood that the cross was coming. He understood that the tomb was coming. But he also knew that the day of Pentecost was just on the horizon, that they were getting ready to experience an outpouring like this world has never seen. He understood what it was. Just because we're going to experience greater things, it does not mean that greater is going to equate into fewer battles. It does not mean that greater will equate into less pressure. It does not mean that greater has no pain. Often greater is preceded by greater stretching, greater surrender, greater dependence on God. Sometimes to become great, you have to go through the discomfort of becoming great. You have to have your muscles stretched. You have to have your faith stretched. A bodybuilder never gets a bodybuilder's physique without going through the difficulty of lifting weights. And there is soreness and there is discomfort. You never get to the point of being a faithful, God-filled saint unless you've went through some trials and tribulations and seen some miracles and had some things happen that helps build your faith to be a great saint of faith. You've got to go through some difficulties. You've got to go through some low times. You've got to go through some shortcomings. But on the other end, greater things are yet to come. It was through my trials that I found His goodness. It was through my trials that I found His grace. Before David wore the crown, he had to run from Saul. Before Joseph ruled Egypt, he had to spend years sitting in a prison cell. Before the resurrection, there had to come a cross. Before he could ever defeat death, hell, and the grave, he had to take a cat of nine tails, a spear to the side, a crown of thorns to his head, nails in his palms. If you're in a difficult season of life, don't assume that God's forgotten about you. If you're in a difficult season or moment in a life, don't think that you're dealing with this alone. This may be the very evidence that you need, that God is preparing you for a moment that's so great you won't be able to explain it. You're going through some trials and some difficulties. Let me tell you, the mountain is just on the other side. Victory is just on the other side. He's preparing you. A lot of times, greater requires a greater vision. Proverbs 28:19 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Too many of us survive off of yesterday's vision, yesterday's anointing, yesterday's move of God, yesterday's miracle. I know I say this frequently, probably too much. There is nothing like nails on a chalkboard to me than sitting across from someone that all they talk about is what God used to do. Like God doesn't do miracles today. I remember when I used to shout. I remember when I used to dance. I remember when I used to. Well, I hear a lot of I's and used to's. You cannot live on last year's miracles. You can't live on yesterday's faith. It's all about what God can do for you now and what God's going to do for you in the future. It's about tomorrow and what tomorrow brings. We cannot just maintain, oh, I remember when. I remember what that moment was. No, we need to advance in. You can never have enough God in your life. There has to be more dedication. Well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm there most Wednesday nights. I read my Bible. Sometimes there is always room for growth. Do you pray every day? Do you read your Bible every day? Are you witnessing every day? It's about advancing the kingdom. I can't be content in my relationship with God. As we stand here December 28, 2025, I said this morning to our praise team. I don't believe anybody in this room wants to have the same relationship with God a year from now that they do right now. Because if that's the case, that means there's been no growth. If that's the case, that means you haven't drawn any deeper with Him than what you already are. And I look around the room, and I don't see Jesus Christ in the room. So that means there's no perfect people in the room, which means there's work to be done. We cannot maintain a consistent relationship. It can't not be a laid back, lackadaisical. It has to be a mission driven inside of our minds and inside of our hearts. I want to advance forward. I have to push forward. I need to push the kingdom forward. Am I doing enough? No, I'm just coming and sitting on a pew, but am I ministering? No, I'm not really doing that because that makes me uncomfortable. I have to find a way. Greater only happens with works of faith. Greater only happens when I'm willing to push forward. The Israelites saw Egypt as their past, but God saw Canaan as their future. The Israelites saw that's all that was, but He said, no, I've got a promised land flowing with milk and honey.
you've got a good life. You've got a life of whatever your situations. I've been lucky enough to be raised in church. I've lived a pretty blessed life. But that's not what God intends for me. He intends for it to be greater than what it is now. To experience more blessings, to experience more goodness, to experience more moves of the Holy Ghost, to experience more interactions with the supernatural. I want to be a pipeline of God's mercy and grace everywhere I go. I want to be a pipeline of faith building in any interaction that I have with other people. Oh, this is broken. This is going bad. Let me pray for you, because I know a God who can supply. I know a God who can provide. I know a God who can do great things. We need to push it forward. The Israelites would have stayed focused on what they left. They would have missed out completely on what was ahead of them. You cannot step forward into greater things while clinging on to things of the past. Some of us need to let go of the person that we were.
I was an alcoholic. I'm always going to be an alcoholic. I was this. I was that. I was broken.
God release you of all those things. That's not who you are anymore. That's not who you are. Do you identify as a child of God or not? Oh, I've got shortcomings. I've got this. I've got that. If you've come in and repented of your shortcomings, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, God doesn't see you in that light anymore. That's your own mind reflecting yourself. You need to let go of those things and begin to allow God to do what God desires in your life. Stop letting that be an anchor in your growth, in your own capability. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a better thing. I will do a more perfect thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert." It doesn't mean to dishonor the past. It means don't live and dwell in the past. The same God who moved before is ready to move again, and he's ready to move in ways that you've never seen or experienced. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are yet to come for this church. Greater things comes through obedience. Jesus said, "Greater works, because I go unto my Father." The greater works didn't happen when he was physically present. It happened afterwards. He told him in Acts 1:4, being assembled together with them, and commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me." Waiting wasn't exciting. None of us like to wait. Nobody likes to wait. We don't like, enjoy waiting. We get frustrated with the waiting. We get irritated with the waiting. Waiting isn't comfortable. Waiting isn't desirable. Too many times we come to the Lord, "God, here's my problem. Here's my trial. Here's my situation. Thank you, Lord. Take care of it. Didn't hear my prayer. Problem's not fixed. Situation not overcome. I guess God doesn't care about me." I hope that's just conviction over the room, why it's so silent right this second. All of us have thought that. All of us have thought at some point, "He's not hearing my prayers." Because if he was hearing my prayers, he'd fix my problem. But truth of the matter is, I was the problem, and he wasn't done working on me yet. And I would have to go through some uncomfortable situations. And sometimes waiting is not comfortable. Sometimes it's the opposite of comfortable. But Sometimes we have to go through fire. We have to go through tribulation because we need our faith tested. We need our faith to be a little bit more resolved. We've got to go through some things, maybe get into an impossible situation where there is no way that we can make it out on our own. And that's when God steps in and says, oh, I see this impossible situation. Guess what? I'm the way maker. I'm the possible God. I'm what's capable of doing this here. But if you just hold on to faith a little bit longer, I'll step in when it defies all logic and all possibility. It's not always the easiest. It's not always the best. Too many times, we want the promise without the process. Give it right now. Give it to me. I want it. You wouldn't know what to do with it when you got it. It's the process that helped you understand what the promise was. It's the process that allowed you to comprehend just how great the promise is. But God releases the greater through obedience. Obedience even when you don't understand the situation. Obedience even when it's inconvenient to you. Obedience when it costs you something. I have a friend of mine. He goes to a different church. They went through a building program. Him and his wife, in 1 year, committed to give $100,000 to the building program. I said, how much? I mean, if you would have said $20,000, that's a lot of money. $100,000? A lot of us in this room don't make $100,000. He gave $100,000 in a year. I was with him, talked about. We gave $50,000, and then I felt like the Lord led me to give $100,000. And we sold my car. We've been going off of one car for a long time now, and I sold some watches that I had, and I sacrificially gave those, and I did these things, and it sacrificed, and it hurts, and it's hard, and I can't understand it. But my wife got, I was on the golf course with him. He said, my wife just got a call, and he said, the Lord blessed her and gave her a $15,000 raise, $12,000 raise, because her boss said, you're simply being underpaid for what you're doing. There was no review. There was no nothing. Just simply, you're doing a good job. You need some more money. Lord, you can give that message to me. I'll receive that right now. Lord, you can give it to anybody else in this room. They'll receive it. Can I get an amen across the room? He said, That's on Thursday, Friday. We played golf on Monday. We had a long talk. There was a lot of conversation. I kept on telling him, bro, look at all that the Lord's done for you every time you sacrificially give. Look at all the blessings that's come from it. Look at all those amazing things. Don't get frustrated with it in the moment. Don't get short-sighted with it. God's going to bless you. He texted me on Monday. He says, you're not going to believe this. He said, I just got an 18% raise at my job. Everything that we've committed, God has given back to us again. Look how faithful God is. Sometimes obedience doesn't make sense, but it's important to do. Sometimes obedience will cost you something, but every major move of God in the scripture was followed by simple obedience. It took someone to step in the water for the water to be divided so the Israelites could walk through on dry ground. It took Noah a hammer, some wood, and some nails, and 120 years of building and creating that ark without a single raindrop of rain falling from the sky. It took ridicule, it took temptation to quit, but still, God promised me I'm just going to be obedient to the word of God. God promised me that there's a flood coming. I'm still going to be obedient to the word of God. He promised that this would happen, so I'm just going to keep on being obedient. The ark's built. Oh, better get the animals together. Here we go. I know that God's going to send the rain because he told me if I would build an ark and if I would put the animals on the ark, he's sending a flood. So any minute, the flood's coming. All the animals are in the ark. How am I going to close the doors? Where's the rain? God, I did it all by obedience. What's this? Remember, this is a country that's never seen rain. They don't know what it is. Obedience brings the promise. Noah being obedient, a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of sacrifice, maybe some self-doubt in there, but obedience nonetheless. And God sends the rain. The miracle happens after obedience begins. The disciples meet in the upper room, not knowing why they're meeting in the upper room, but they're there because he told them to meet. And then in Acts 2:1, it says, and the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't know why, but they knew who, and who told them to go and sit in the upper room. They didn't realize that they would experience the greatest miracle that had ever happened until that point, the miracle of salvation, the miracle of life-giving power in the form of the Holy Ghost. The miracle was not in the instruction. The miracle was on the other side of obedience. We understand that it's not about us, but it's about His Spirit. It's not about me and what I'm capable of doing, but it's what God can do through me. John 16:7, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I depart, I will send Him unto you. Holy Ghost was not a replacement of Jesus. It was a multiplication of His ministry. It was only Christ that was able to lay hands and heal the lame and raise the dead and heal the blind. But after He died and resurrected and defeated death, hell, and the grave, and the Holy Ghost fell in that upper room, that same Holy Ghost that we just experienced a few moments ago in this very room, the one that gives us the ability to speak in tongues, that same blood that flowed through the disciples' veins, now flow through your veins. It gives you the same ability and the same capabilities to speak life into other people. Begin to speak life into marriages. Begin to pray over sick. I believe that there's going to be lame begin to walk. I believe that there's marriages that are destroyed that are going to become whole. Not because of our own capabilities, but because of God's ability through us. Us being a willing vessel. God using us for greater things. This church is not content in the relationship that we've got. I don't believe it for a moment. I believe that there are greater things yet to come for Elkhart Life, that there are greater things yet to come for the saints of Elkhart Life. Greater things are not about talent. Greater things are not about having just the best programs. Greater things are about willing vessels. God doesn't need perfect people. Thank the Lord for that. God doesn't need perfect people. He needs available people. I'm closing. He needs people that are willing to be used by the kingdom. Some people think, oh, good job, Pastor. Okay job, Pastor. Greater things are for some people, but not for me. Well, I believe we just had a moment of tongues interpretation about 24 minutes ago that completely debunked that. Where the Word of God spoke into this room that He wants to use you who are broken, you who have got shortcomings, you who have failed, you who don't view yourself as worthy or capable. That's exactly who He wants to use. Peter denied the existence of Jesus altogether and the fact that he was a follower of him, yet God still used him. Thomas doubted so much the existence of a resurrected God that he says, show me him so I can put my fingers into his hand. Mark quit ministry completely. Yet God still used them powerfully. Your failure does not cancel out your future. How many people are thankful that your failures don't cancel your future? Because if your because if my failures canceled my future, I would never be here right now. I would never be married to an amazing wife or have incredibly amazing children that are talented using their gifts for the Lord. My failure dictated my future. I would have no future at all. Micah 7:8 says, when I fall, I shall arise. Grace does not excuse sin, but it restores purpose. God's not done with you because you've stumbled. God's not done with you because you've struggled. God's not done with you because you've had to start all over again. You need to understand that some of the greatest chapters in your life haven't been written yet. If we look around the room, some of you weren't in this room a year ago. Some of you were fighting some major battles a year ago. Look where God's brought you. I look around the room and there's at least three couples that weren't married a year ago that are now married. Get an amen for that? Thank you, Jesus. There's growth happening. You might not see it because it's happening behind closed doors. You may not understand what God is doing, and maybe you don't realize what his plan is for you. But if you're underneath the sound of my voice, hear me. Greater things are yet to come. I love our students. I was a youth pastor. I'll always have a heart for students. Most Sundays, like Sister Mary has, you'll look over and they've got notebooks. And they'll be writing in their notebooks. They're writing notes about what the pastor preached. Hopefully, you're not writing love notes. I'm assuming they're writing what pastors preached. They're writing notes and moments. And at some point, 10 years from now, they're going to find this notebook in a chest. How many people know this is the truth because you've done it yourself? And they'll be sitting. Maybe it's in their living room. And I did it a few weeks ago with the thing from Bible school. And I sat down, opened it up, and began to read what Brother Josh Anderson preached. And what I was feeling in that moment, and the shortcomings that I was feeling in my own life. And then I flipped a few pages over and realize that God gave me victory in that situation. God provided a way and provided a miracle for me that I couldn't quite explain, and the joy that I experienced. And if you were to track that along the rest of my life, for those that don't realize it, living for God is a life of highs and lows. It is not a life of all highs. You will experience some valleys in your life, but you'll also experience some mountaintops. I don't know what your 2025 brought you. I don't know what blessings were bestowed upon you, and I don't know what heartache laid heavily upon you. But I do know this. God's got greater things in store for you moving forward in the future. We will never be a church that dwells on what used to be. Brother Borlick, all over the United States, him and Sister Borlick ministering to people. What benefit is it to all of our students if all we talked about is what God did for you when you were 15 years old? Oh, he was a mighty God. He saved me from these situations. He blessed me. Oh, you should experience what I experienced. We'll thank God for what he's done. But he's not done doing. Our students, as they sit across this room spread out, you realize what miracles they're going to experience as the darker that our world becomes. The light and brighter our light shines. As the less familiar this world becomes with the idea of God and Christianity, the more ability it gives them to talk about the goodness and grace of Christ. Do you realize in this room, underneath the sound of my voice, there is another generation that is ready to grab a hold of the torch and say, yes, my dad loved the Lord, my grandfather and grandmother loved the Lord, but guess what? I also love the Lord, and I'm not done serving the kingdom. I'm not done with what could be, but what's going to be great things, miracles, signs, and wonders. Pastor Isaac preached about greater things. I believe greater things are just on the horizon. How do I become a part of it? I need to be a part of it. Underneath the sound of my voice, I'm calling you. Lift your eyes. Lift your expectation. Lift your faith. Greater things are yet to come. There's going to be greater faith, greater impact, greater harvest, greater glory, not just someday, not just in heaven, but in this generation. In these moments, Haggai 2:9 says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. We talk about Azusa Street in a mythical fashion, what happened in 1904 to 1906, and Holy Ghost falling in days and weeks and months of revival, and people being healed and people being moved upon. I believe that's just in the horizon, but we're going to experience another great revival again. I believe as we get closer to the end days, the miracles are going to become more mighty. That we've heard it in tongues interpretation, professed and proclaimed again and again. Get ready, I'm coming back. Prepare yourself, I'm coming back. Get ready, I'm going ready to call you home. I believe the darker days are ahead of us, but our light is going to shine brighter than what it ever has before. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things for you. 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 Greater things for me. We stand across this auditorium. I believe as a church, we've just scratched the surface of what he wants to do in Elkhart life. I believe we've just scratched the surface of what he wants to do in our community. I believe that God wants to make a change. I believe that God wants to use you and your talents. Every single person in the sound of my voice has a different talent and a different capability, perfectly designed to minister to other people. Perfectly curated to be able to be an impact on those that are around you. But it has to come from within that says, God, I want to be greater than what I am right now. And I know that it's not in my own capabilities or my own talents, because let's just be honest, we're all short on those things. But God, if I just had your anointing, God, if I just had your blessings, God, I'll be the vessel. I'll open my voice, but you got to fill it with your words. God, I'll knock on the doors. I'll show the friendship. I'll pray for the person, but I need you to speak out of me. That I know that I'm not capable of mine own doing, but it's through you. I'm going to ask that you step out of your pew. Make your way down to an altar across this room. Felt a heaviness this morning, Brother Cook, when I was here praying. God, let us go deeper with you. God, let us get into the uncomfortable. Let us get into the situations where our coworkers ask us what we believe and why we believe it. When our coworkers ask us, do you think God could heal so-and-so? Yeah, I do. I do. You want to pray for him? I believe that God wants us to go deeper in him, but God will only do what we're willing to allow him to do. My prayer across this room is, God, let us be willing vessels. God, make us uncomfortable. God, make us uneasy, but willing. God will take a willing person where talent is incapable of going. So God, I'm going to ask this right now. Lord, that you raise your hands across this room and begin to claim, God, I'm going to be a willing vessel this year. God, I pray that you push me, that you mold me in an uncomfortable way. God, Lord, I want to be more than what I was. When we come back around next year, God, let me be greater in your spirit than what I was in the past. Let me be greater in my own capabilities than what I am now. Let me be more confident in your word, God. Let me be more confident in your spoken spirit, God. Lord, I pray that you move upon us, God. Lord, be a blessing to us right now. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do, God. Lord, I praise your name.
I can have Liz up here. I can stand next to your husband. I just have to be obedient. And I'm very uncomfortable, but it's pulling at my heart. Lord, give me the boldness to speak what is it. Isaac, I have watched you. I have formed you. I have loved you. I have anointed you for this position. I see you at night. Liz, I have not forgotten you. You are my precious daughter. I am breathing, bringing revival to this church. It is time to step up. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Open your mouth and I will fill it with my word. I have anointed these two to watch over you. I have seen you at the nighttime in your secret place. Liz, my precious daughter. I love you. I love you. Do you hear me? Isaac, I have plans for you. I have so many plans for you. People watch you and they listen to you, and you have influence because I have placed the words in your mouth. Pray the spirit of boldness over these people. Yeah.